Before I share with you the topic that is on the spirit of giving, let us look to God in prayer. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, as we approach your holy throne of grace, we are mindful, O Lord, of how in your great love and in your great mercy towards us, you gave your only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this sinful earth, to die for sinful men like us. O God, our Heavenly Father, we want to worship you. We want to say how thankful we are towards you for your grace, for your mercies that you have showered upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, on this Lord's Day, we can come together as your people to worship you. And this morning, we want to pray especially those who are not able to join us, and especially those who have been taken ill, those who are unwell in their physical well-being and in need of medical care and in need of rest. Oh, Father, on this Lord's Day, may you be gracious to draw close to them. And we want to especially pray for Pastor Greg Gabriel Gunn that you will continue to strengthen him and heal him and restore him to health again. And for those whom we may not be able to name them one by one, oh Lord, you know their needs and you know the difficulties and the struggles that they are going through. Oh Lord, may you be gracious to them. And as we now consider the topic, the spirit of giving, O Lord, may your Holy Spirit illuminate our minds. May your Holy Spirit open our hearts. And may your Holy Spirit grant to us understanding and that we might know indeed what it means to give to you and to give in a manner that will be pleasing in your sight. Come amongst us, O Lord, and we commit our time to you, especially our meditation of your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The year 2019 is coming to an end, and Christmas is just around the corner. And Christmas is no longer regarded as a festive holiday only for Christians. It has become a rather mythological festive holiday, focusing on Santa Claus and all kind of make-believe gifts that will be given especially to all the young children. And Christmas, sadly, is all about Santa Claus coming to give gifts. I'm not sure how many of us really understand what Christmas is all about. While it is good to give gifts to our loved ones and our family members, we must never forget to show, and especially to our young children, and to tell them the true meaning of giving and receiving of gifts. And this is what I would like to share with you this morning. That is the spirit of giving. A giving of gifts during Christmas will never be meaningful if we do not know and understand, especially the significance of giving. So I trust that and pray that all of us will indeed have a blessed Christmas, giving meaningful gifts. And it's good for me to say from the very beginning that it is not just about giving material things or material resources. So let us first seek to understand what God gave. What the wise men gave, the passage that is found in Matthew chapter 2, and what the angels, what they gave, and also the shepherds, and also that of Joseph and Mary, and last but not least, let us apply and find out for ourselves what we should give. What God gave to the world. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave to the world his greatest gift, and he gave his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, Christmas is all about who? Jesus Christ. And we also read in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them give he the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God the Heavenly Father also gave us the power, the ability, enablement to become his children when we believe and when we trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as our personal Savior, as our personal Redeemer. It is a free gift. It is the greatest gift for mankind. The gift of everlasting life. The gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous gift. It is indeed a wonderful gift. What do you think is the best gift to have? What do you think is the best gift to have? A story was told of a rich man who had everything money could buy, but he was not satisfied at all. He started to indulge himself in buying exclusive things that is so unique to him. And so he bought for himself famous paintings that cost thousands of dollars, antiques, and so forth. And he has many collector's items. But he is still not satisfied. I'm sure you heard of how rich people are willing to buy just a piece of painting that will cost even millions of dollars. Somehow, we just can't appreciate or can't understand. Does this painting really cost $1 million? But apparently, this rich man was seeking to satisfy his hunger for unique things. So he was told about this beautiful ruby owned by this man who lived in a foreign land. So with great effort, he went to this collector, and it was a long journey, and he decided that he must buy this exquisite jewel, this ruby. And for many weeks he traveled, and the rich man was rather exhausted by the time he reached his destination. And in those days, there wasn't any cars and aeroplanes, so the rich man traveled by horse. And he was able to persuade the collector to sell this precious ruby to him. And after he got the ruby, he said, now I have this ultimate jewel. Now, as some of you might be thinking, now I have this brand new car. I have this brand new house or whatever. And the rich man succeeded indeed in persuading the collector to sell the ruby to him in a price that the collector could not resist. So he went home happily. Then tragedy struck. The rich man was so exhausted in the long journey, he felt dizzy and he fell off his horse. And his head just struck onto a rock and he died a few days later. Just before he died, he said, alas, what is the use of having this exquisite so-called jewel when I lose my life for it? My friends, how very true. Many today lose their lives chasing after worthless things that will not give everlasting satisfaction. But sadly, this is the kind of world that we are living in. We can never find everlasting satisfaction with all the material things of this world. Remember how Jesus put it when he said in Mark 8, 36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The question is simply, I put forth to you, what are you chasing for? What are you chasing after that will give you satisfaction? But my friends, the gift of eternal life is far greater than the precious of jewels on earth. And it is said that many people do not realize this until they are dying, on their deathbed. And the realization often comes too late. But friends, come and receive this eternal life, this gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that will give us eternal joy. Yes, God gave. He gave his greatest gift to mankind, that is his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's consider, what did the wise man give? We will have no time to look at or to read Matthew chapter 2, but I will just highlight some of those important verses. In Matthew chapter 2, records for us how the wise men from the east, how they were searching for Jesus. And we read verse 1 and 2, "And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him.' And there was no doubt that they gave of their effort to search for Jesus when it was revealed to them that a king of the Jews was to be born. And they traveled afar, and they followed the star, and they were searching diligently for that young child that is the king of the Jews. And their aim was to worship Jesus, the king of the Jews. And they brought along their precious gifts to Jesus: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And all these precious gifts, they are fit for the Savior King. And Jesus is indeed the King of Kings. And they gave to Jesus gold. And the gift of gold was often reserved for royalty. And the wise man told King Herod that they have come to see one to be born that is the King of the Jews. And the gift was of gold, and it showed that Jesus was royal. And then they also give frankincense. And the gift of frankincense is somewhat unusual in that frankincense was a highly valued commodity and somewhat rare. But the Jewish people had a common use for frankincense, and that it was directly connected to the worship of God. And that in the temple, the Jews prayed before the altar of incense. And when they kept burnt, it was kept burning day and night. And frankincense was burnt on the altar. And when frankincense is burnt, it gives off a sweet-smelling white smoke. And the smoke rising from the altar of incense represents the prayers of the people rising to God in heaven. And frankincense was reserved only for the worship of God. And the wise men, interestingly, presented this gift to Jesus, representing the fact that God alone was divine. And the gift of myrrh seems to be rather odd of this gift, in that myrrh was extremely valuable and had a number of uses. And the most common use was as a perfume, and sometimes myrrh might be used in the homes of those who are wealthy, the rich, to create a pleasant fragrance. But the major use of myrrh was for barriers, and myrrh was placed on the cloth used to wrap around the bodies for barrier. To help to prevent the smell of decay following death. And so the wise men presented these gifts to Jesus as a presentation that he would one day, or rather this gift of myrrh, that one day he's going to die. And the gift conveyed the fact that Jesus was born to die. Yes, indeed, the wise men, they gave precious and symbolic gifts. And they give purposefully and meaningfully to Jesus. And we too often should have the same attitude like that of the wise men. And we are to give to God for who he is, for his glory, and for his honor, and in worship of him. Now, some of us might be thinking, and saying, I am not a wise man. I'm not like one of those royalty. I'm not one of those kings. And in other words, I cannot give gold. I cannot give frankincense and myrrh. I cannot give expensive stuff. Yeah. Can we still give meaningfully? The answer is yes. Yes. But more importantly is that the gift must come from our heart. I remember going to Chiang Mai and visited the tribal Christians. They had no money to give, as in cash, you know. But they brought along, I still remember on that particular lodge day, they brought along their first fruits, rice, a bag of rice, fruits and vegetables, and they put it in front of the church. It was a house. Yes, they give, and they give their best. And do you think God accepted their gifts? Yes, definitely. Perhaps you might be saying, "Oh, I'm a student, and I'm not earning a living. Can I give?" Yes, why not? And this is what we need to learn, that is to manage the pocket money that our parents give to us. And they need to set aside to give what was given to us by our parents to the Lord. How about those in nursing home? We have many residents at the Jewing home. They have nothing to give. They're destitute. Does it mean that they can't give? No, they can still give. And how about retirees? They're not earning. Can they still give? Answer is, yes, they can still give. So let's move on. Let's look at another aspect of giving. What did the angels give? Going back to Luke chapter 2, we were told that, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They were giving glory. The angels, they were giving glory to God. How about
the shepherds.
Oh, you read further down that the shepherds, after they have seen before their very eyes what the angels told them, and when they met with Joseph and Mary, they returned, and the shepherds returned and said, glorying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. Yes, the angels, the shepherds, they give glory to God, and they were glorifying and praising God for the for his wonderful and marvelous gift to mankind. And the Bible records for us how the angels and the shepherds, how they were praising God. And it must have been a magnificent and a glorious sight. And the shepherds in the field saw with their very eyes a multitude of the heavenly hosts. It's just beyond our imagination. Yeah. Although there's no indication that the angels or the shepherds, they were singing praises in worship of God, nevertheless, it is clear that they were glorifying and praising God. And in the Old Testament, the psalmist talk about singing praises to God. And there are many, many passages in Psalms that shows us how the saints of old, how they were singing praises unto God. And for example, in Psalm 18, verse 48, the psalmist says, therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. So the psalmist declare of his desire to praise the Lord. And the word sing or singing appears indeed many times in the book of Psalm. And there's no reason not to sing praises to the Lord in worship. And we must be thankful to the Lord for New Life Choir for leading us from time to time in worship through their singing. Not all of us are singers, but it's always good to have a choir to lead us in singing praises to God. And it would be better if we join the choir and to learn how to sing so that the entire congregation will be this entire choir singing together. Wonderful, isn't it? But next, it's important to note that the shepherds, we were told that they were so afraid. They were so afraid. They were terrified. And what it literally means is this: fear. They were fear with great fear. They were trembling. Yes, we need to have the fear of God in our hearts. And the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, and is the fountain of life. Indeed, reverential fear will lead us to praise and worship the Lord. Do you fear God? Do you reverence God? Or is He out of sight, out of mind? But we are thankful that today, on this Lord's Day, we can come together to worship Him because we fear Him. Now we must ask, what level of fear, what level of reverential fear do we have to this God whom we believe? Praise be to God that the shepherds, they did not continue to live in fear, but they live in praise and in worship. And that is what we must continue to do. Another observation is this: do you know why did the angels appear before the shepherds? Why not those religious leaders who know the scriptures? One might have thought, oh, the angels should have appeared before those religious teachers, since they know the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, the Torah, and so forth. And they will be more appreciative of the fact that, you know, the king has come. Well, the Bible did not give us an answer to this question. But I would like to consider that it is indeed a unique privilege from God to experience such a wonderful sight. And in those days, the shepherds were considered to be of a lowly status. And in the Jewish society, they were poor. They were like outcasts. And rich and religious, those religious leaders would despise them. And there's no suggestion in God's word that those shepherds were devout men. And yet God, in his sovereignty, revealed himself to them. And Jesus always, as you know, as you read the gospel, he seems to be always associating himself with the poor and the lowly and those who are despised and rejected. And as it were, they have nothing to give. Perhaps you are here today feeling a sense of unworthiness and felt being rejected by the society or being rejected even by your friends because of your whatever status that you might be in. And do you know there are many who feel being rejected, especially those at nursing homes? I'm reminded that the need to go, the need to, for us to go to them, especially those elderly folks, those destitute at the nursing home. And thank God for many of us who are helping at the Jewing home. So let us keep our let us keep on doing this good work. I've been looking after this resident, but from another home. Her name is Tan Apong. And she has no family, no relatives, but she will always prepare an ang pao whenever I visited her. Before I go, I will just call up the nursing station and to make sure that there's no medical appointment, or she has got no medical appointment, and then I will visit her. And she will always prepare this ang pao and say, please put this ang pao in the offering bag. It's a small gift, you know, but it is a gift to God. So I'm so touched by her because she's illiterate, and but yet she was able to understand what it means to believe and trust in Jesus and what it means to worship God and even to give her best to Jesus. Yes, my friends, just as God did not despise the shepherds, He too will not despise any of us. So let us praise Him, glorify Him, and like the shepherds of old. And let's move on to consider what did the Joseph and Mary, what did they give? Oh, I believe they gave their lives to God's call. It was a difficult call, in that Joseph and Mary had to bear with the embarrassment of having a child when they were not married. It was a difficult call, but they gave their life to God's call. And it was a difficult journey in that Joseph and Mary had to make their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And this is in obedience to the king's a decree, you know, that the citizens is to be taxed, and they have no choice but to obey and to follow instructions. And from Nazareth, they move, travel all the way to Bethlehem. And do you know how far it is? About 150 kilometers. And it is about a 6-day journey. Recently, a group of us, we did a 20 km walk, and we took about 4 hours. Under the hot sun, and two of our participants were exhausted, and they suffered from heat exhaustion, and they have to drop out before the finishing line, and it wasn't an easy 20-kilometer walk. But as for Joseph and Mary, they completed their journey, and they went to the final destination, that is in Bethlehem, to pay their taxes. And the next thing is that as for Joseph and Mary, they not only completed their journey, they have to endure the difficulty of giving birth to Jesus. And we were told, it's recorded for us, that there was no room in the inn for them. And they have to endure all the hardship, the harsh living conditions. So what did Joseph and Mary, what did they give? They give their lives. They give their lives to fulfill God's redemptive plan for mankind through Jesus, our Lord. My question to all of us here is this: are you willing to give your life to fulfill God's plan of redemption for mankind? Are you willing to give your life to fulfill His plan that is for you? And we have to move on and ask this question, what we ought to give, what we ought to give. And from the examples that I've just shared with you this morning, first thing I would like to exhort us to do is this. That is, we must give our lives like Joseph and Mary to do His will. Remember in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, the Apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. That means give your bodies a living sacrifice. Give your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. That means presenting your bodies as living sacrifice. What it simply means is this: God has given us this body, and we are steward of this body that God has given to us. So may, by the grace of God, let us care for this physical body, and caring also for our soul. And the Bible teaches us also to give Him worship. Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto His name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we are to give praise to God for who He is, and thank God for the many wonderful hymns and the carols that we can sing together to worship Him every Lord's Day. And I trust that we too are singing praises to Him, not just every Lord's Day, but even every day. And Jesus was pleased indeed to be worshipped by His disciples when He entered into Jerusalem, and He succinctly taught us how we must also worship Him. Let me just take you back to Gospel of Luke chapter 19, where we read in verse 26 to 40, that He, and that when He stepped into Jerusalem, and they spread their clothes in their way, and when He was come nigh, we were told, even now as He at the descent of Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they have seen. And you know what they were saying? Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven, and glory in the highest. But I want us to take note. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude say unto Him, Master, they were saying to Jesus, Master, rebuke thy disciples, rebuke all these people, rebuke them, because they are doing something that is not right. Do you know how Jesus answered and said to them? Let me read to you. Jesus said to them, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones will immediately cry out. That is the kind of expression given to us of this great God whom we believe. The stones would cry out. Jesus thus rebuked the religious leaders for not giving glory to him, which is due to him. And I pray that Jesus will not rebuke us for our failure to give glory to him and to give our best to him. I trust that all of us will glorify God, and glorifying God wholeheartedly whenever we come to church, especially for corporate worship. So we are to give thanks also to God, not only worship, but in thanksgiving. We read in Psalm 136, verse 1 to 3, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, here we see in Psalm 136 is about how the people of God came together to give thanks to God for God's faithfulness and for God's steadfast love. And remember how the Apostle Paul, also in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and where he exhorts us, "In everything, give thanks." For what? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Concerning who? Concerning you. Concerning us. This is the will of God, that we are to give thanks to God for all things, for all circumstances. What it simply means is this, my dear friends: take time. Take time each day to thank God for all the things that he has done in each one of our lives. And I'd like to quote to you this saying by a person by the name William Arthur Watt. He says this: "Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it." Something to think about. Next, we should give of our resources. The Bible clearly tells us that God looks into what we are holding in our hearts. Yes, not what we are holding in our hands. However, it is also, we must remember that it is that we need to, whatever we hold in our hands, we must be willing to give. So remember in Acts chapter 5, how we read about a certain man by the name Ananias and with his wife Sapphira, and how they sold their possession and they kept part of the proceeds by pretending that they were giving everything to God. And so we were told that they put their gifts at the feet of apostle and pretending that they have given everything. You might remember what we were told the apostle Peter said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? You have not lied to men, but to God." And Ananias, hearing these things, we were told, fell down and he died. What it simply means is this: God knows our hearts. We can deceive men, but not God. God will surely judge us. But more importantly, we are reminded also in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that tells us that God loves a cheerful giver, not a grudging giver, but a cheerful giver. And he does not love a reluctant giver or a dishonest giver, as we see in Ananias and that of his wife Sapphira. Giving is between you and God. It does not mean that you are more spiritual than others when you give more than others. It is not the quantity, but rather the quality of our giving that God is looking for. God sees our heart rather than the size of our gift. Remember the giving of the poor widow and that of the rich man in the temple, as described to us in the gospel. And the rich man poured in plenty, where the widow only 2 mites. And Jesus praised not the rich man, but the widow. And it is all about the attitude of giving. And at the same time, Jesus was also pointing to the religious leader, how they have failed in their duty by that incident to care for those who are poor. Yes, now we talk about the giving of praises. We talk about giving of precious gifts. How about giving of our personal time? By the way, there's no such thing as giving of our personal time. Our time belongs to God. Don't say it's my personal time, but rather it's God's time. And we are stewards. We are stewards of God's time. Everything that we have belongs to God. And we are stewards and we are not owners. And I'd like to share with you now from Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus, after telling the parables of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents, he went on to instruct them about the day of judgment. So we read in Matthew 25, in 31 and 32, he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be the gathering of all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep and the goats." And now come the interesting teaching. Matthew 25 and then verse 34 says, "Then the king said to those on the right," listen carefully, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And listen what he says. "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you come to me." And then the righteous will answer him and saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you and you're naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick in prison and we visited you?" And listen to what the king answered. "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, my brethren, you did it unto me." So Jesus is challenging us to give of our time, our talent, and of our resources for those who are suffering. Remember again what Jesus says, "Verily I say to you, in as much as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." Give, yes. Give of your time to encourage those who are lonely. Give of your resources to help those who are in need. Give of your time to listen to the cry of those who are sad. Give of your time to pray for others. Give of your time to serve others. Give of your time to share the gospel. And what is God's promise? In Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The blessing is not necessary material in abundance. And there are many things, my dear friends, money cannot buy. But yet God says, you will receive his blessing. His blessing of grace, of his goodness, of joy, of peace. Yes, he will give us good things, good health, good strength. Yes, he has given us caring family members and friends. And he will give us sufficient grace for the trials that we face on this earth. He gives us hope and assurance. Our God is always a great giver. It is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the challenge. What will you give? Consider putting aside this year, Christmas gift. I'm sure Ivan will be happy what I'm going to say. And use the money for the renovation project. Maybe this is just my proposal and challenge. Speak to your loved ones. Speak to your children. Tell them, you know, this year I'm not going to give you a Christmas gift. I'm going to save the money, you know, and give it to the renovation project. Or this is just a proposal. You pray about it and let God lead you. But there's another urgent need. There's another urgent need which I'd like to appeal to you. There's an urgent need for blood. Singapore Blood Bank. If you have in my Facebook, probably you have known. I posted it, or rather I reposted it, I shared it. Some of you, like me, can't give. I was a regular blood donor. I would like to give, but for whatever reasons, they say I can't give. Yes, give of your time, give blood to save a life. There's a need, urgent need for blood. And as I was thinking through, wow, I think about our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us on the cross. His blood that he shed for us for our sins, and he gave his life to save us from eternal condemnation. So if you can give, my dear friends, your blood, give. Yeah. Just a needle poking only, that's all. It's just like an ant bite. Yeah. And it won't cost you a lot of time. Half a day, that's all. Yeah. All right. And not only that, you benefit from having some tidbits after the blood donation, but more importantly, your blood might be able to save a life. But as we think of this blood that God has given to us, think of the precious blood of Jesus who saved our life. So may God help us to know how to give and to give in a way that will please God and that God himself will be glorified. Amen.